Audible Originals presents Camp Cacophony, written by Jessica Corey, performed by Susie Jackson.
Chapter 1. Camp Sweat Lake. I jolt off my pillow, ears ringing with the sound of a very high-pitched, very insistent whistle. Disoriented, I blink into the darkness, only to yelp when lights blast on. Where am I? Maybe I'm in my bedroom and fell out of the bed, hitting my head on the nightstand. Or I fell asleep in Spanish class and drooled all over my conjugation homework again. Or I've been abducted by aliens, and they're about to perform weird experiments on my helpless body. Then I get a strong whiff of dirty socks and sweaty laundry, and I remember, I'm somewhere much, much worse. Sports camp. This terrible realization hits me at the exact same moment that a pillow whacks me across the face, knocking me flat. "Rise and shine, Amelia Jones," booms a voice. "Last one up gets pillowed. Camp tradition." Groaning, I press my face into the scratchy sheets. My noisy bunkmate takes this personally and clobbers the back of my head with her pillow. "Ow, I'm up!" Morgan McBride stands over me, grinning and clutching her pillow, which has a picture of some famous female soccer player on it. I mean, I'm assuming she's famous. It's not like I know much about female soccer players, or any soccer players, or soccer. "Good morning," Morgan says cheerfully. "We have sprints in 10 minutes. "Great." Which gives me about 3 minutes to dress, 2 minutes to brush teeth, 1 minute to comb and tie my hair, and 3 minutes to sob into my own pillow, which has music notes stamped all over it. Outside our door, the whistle blows again.
"Let's go, campers,"
bellows Coach Sean as he beats on our door.
"Hit the field. No pain, no gain. No sprints, no breakfast."
I look at Morgan miserably. Morgan grins at me.
"Remember," she says, cocking finger pistols at me. "No milk."
I met Morgan last night, after Gran dropped me off at Camp Sweet Lake and then sped off as fast as she could for her bus tour of quilting museums and Civil War sites. Tall, muscled, and loud as a tuba, Morgan quickly taught me 3 things. 1, that real campers call it Camp Sweat Lake, because there's more sweat in that lake than water. 2, do not under any circumstances drink the milk from the dining hall. And 3, no magic allowed. This last one she proclaimed with a sour glance at my battered, trusty old flute case, which I carried opposite my barely used duffel bag. She claimed the top bunk immediately and then proceeded to hang precisely 34 medals, trophies, and blue ribbons across the bars.
"And those are just the ones I won at Camp Sweat Lake," she told me proudly. "I'm MVP Camper of the Week 3 years running, you know? Going for 4. That'll be a record."
If there's one thing I've learned about Morgan McBride in the very short time I have known her, it's that she's all about busting records. While I scramble into gym shorts and tie up my hair, she does push-ups by the door. The other 6 girls in our cabin are already heading out, bouncing and stretching in preparation for sprints.
"Come on," Morgan shouts.
She doesn't seem to ever speak without yelling.
"We're going to be last in the sprints line, Ames."
"My name's not...
Let's go."
She grabs me by my elbow and hauls me out the door, ignoring my protests. I didn't even get a chance to brush my teeth. "What's the wobbliest thing you can think of?" I groan over my breakfast tray. Morgan twirls her fork.
"A snowman made of jello, balancing on a tightrope that's being held up by 2 of those dancing inflatable balloon guys you always see at car dealerships."
"Well, that's oddly specific." "Anyway, yeah, that's what my body feels like. Jello on a tightrope. I hate sprints." With a moan, I faceplant on the dining table.
Someone scratched, "Don't drink the milk," with a little skull and crossbones into the formica.
"You'll toughen up, Ames."
She pounds my back, and I nearly choke on my bacon.
"This is what Camp Sweat Lake is all about. Turning bench warmers into MVPs. Turning zeros into heroes. Turning losers..."
She grins apologetically.
"Well, you get it."
"I really, really don't. Let's just say sports and I go together like a cowbell and Brahms. Which is to say, not at all. And yet here I am. Gran had her heart set on my going to sports camp. And not just because it gave her an excuse to go on her bus tour, but because she thinks it'll somehow convince me that running until I puke or getting whacked in the face by softballs is more fulfilling than playing my flute. My flute, unfortunately, is in desperate need of a professional tune-up, and Gran agreed to cover the cost only if I agreed to a week of grueling athleticism. I'm starting to wonder if the trade was worth it. A whistle suddenly screams across the dining hall. Startled, I drop my fork with a clatter.
"Good morning, athletes,"
booms Coach Sean. Coach is a huge bald guy with shoulders like timpani drums. His dark skin is already shiny with sweat, and every article of clothing he wears, from his striped socks to his golf shirt to his short shorts, is emblazoned with the Camp Sweat Lake logo, a lightning bolt striking a lake. Which seems appropriate, because being at sports camp is about on par with getting electrocuted.
"As you returnees know," says Coach Sean, "I founded this place to teach kids..."
He raises a hand to his ear, and on cue, all the kids who have been here before yell out, "Self-respect! Self-discipline! Self-awareness! Self-serve laundry!" The last one must be a joke because everyone cracks up. Seeing my look of confusion, Morgan leans over and loudly whispers,
"It's funny, 'cause years ago, the laundry crew quit because the stench of everyone's dirty clothes was so bad one of them fainted. Now we have to wash our own."
"My little champions," says Coach Sean, wiping an actual tear from his eye.
He sniffles loudly.
"Making your coach proud, and it's only day one."
"That's another thing,"
Morgan whispers.
"Coach only looks and acts tough. They say he even sleeps with his whistle in his mouth, but he's more sensitive than a baby with diaper rash. We all pretend to ignore it."
"Here at Camp Sweet Lake,"
Coach continues, pulling himself together,
"no athlete is too slow, too small, or too clumsy. When you're on my court, you are enough. Just remember our most important rule."
He raises his hand to his ear again.
"Eyes on the prize,"
everyone screams.
"And what's the prize?"
bellows Coach.
"Fun!"
Cheers break out. Then someone throws a glob of oatmeal. In minutes, food is flying everywhere, which seems to be a tradition, because next thing I know, Coach and the rest of the camp counselors are joining in, howling and hooting. I might take part if everyone in the room weren't equipped with wickedly good aim and ridiculously strong arms honed by years of hurling baseballs. Those flying sausages are deadly. I see one kid get knocked flat when he takes one to the nose. With a whimper, I slip under the table and hug my knees to wait out the culinary chaos. In my head, I'm already writing my first camp letter to Gran. Dear Gran, help!